Well, life is full of surprises. Would be a minor piece of understatement, wouldn't it? Life is constantly changing, all sorts of ways, all sorts of unpredictable ways. Look at the last 3 years. If you tried to describe to yourself 3 years ago what was going to happen the next 3 years, you just wouldn't have believed it, would you? Extraordinary. I'm interested that I still hear people telling the stories of that first lockdown, because it was just so remarkable, wasn't it? It was an extraordinary time, suddenly not able to go out of our houses unless we lived in Downing Street. Suddenly, you know, very few cars on the road. How weird was that? Do you remember going for those walks in those early days when we thought we were allowed out for an hour, but only an hour, and we'd walk up the road and we'd hear the birds singing? Extraordinary days. And those huge detours that people made to get around us, as if we alone had COVID. It was an extraordinary time. Life is full of surprises, you know, and the terrible, terrible, terrible surprise of the Ukraine war of the last few months. A war which, doesn't it continually look like an old century? It doesn't look real. How could these terrible things, wicked things, be happening in our time? But they are. And at the personal level, life can change suddenly, and for many of us in different ways, it has changed suddenly. As you probably know, I mentor quite a number of Christian leaders. Incredible privilege to spend time with these folk, just to share life with them and to walk with them. One of the youngest of them, early 40s, had a heart attack this last week. He must also be the fittest of all the people I mentor. You're very welcome. It's extraordinary. Suddenly, life changes. The shocks and challenges of life underline the importance of what we've just been hearing about, of being firmly rooted in Christ. Only through having that solid foundation, solid roots, can we be confident as we look to the future. Roots are just totally important, aren't they? Without them, there is no life. We've got to know that we've got roots that are in the right place. I drive to Herefordshire every couple of months, and on my last trip there, I went past the vineyards, and I suppose it must be nearly 2 months ago. And vineyards are amazing, aren't they? Because when the vines are not in leaf, they look dead. Totally dead. And the particular vineyard I went past was at that stage 2 months ago, looking totally dead, as if nothing was ever going to happen, clip right back. But I know what it will look like now if I went by. It would be green and lush, and the grapes would be growing. And why? All because of roots. So I want us to reflect on this for a moment about our roots. What are our roots like today? Because life is unpredictable. We proved it. Suddenly things can change out of all recognition. What are your roots like? The importance of them is stressed, isn't it, in Psalm 1, in which the life of the godly person is beautifully described. That person, it says, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So when we're in the right place, when our roots are in the right location, then we know we will be blessed. Paul's language about this is interesting. When he talks about being rooted in Christ, it's the aorist tense. It's a definite event. It's something that's happened. We're rooted. But then as soon as he talks about being rooted, he talks about growing, developing, becoming stronger in God. I'm deeply grateful to God that I was brought up in an evangelical church, a church that preached the good news of Jesus, just like this church, and that was a great blessing to me. But there was a weakness at times. At times it felt as if all that mattered was that people crossed the line, just as long as they became Christians and we could put them on the list, and they're now Christians, and as if that's, you know, got that done, let's get some more. And almost forgot that actually the purpose of having roots, The purpose of coming to Christ is so that we may grow, so that we go on from there, not just having a date in the diary which says we're forever secure in God, but growing in God. So I've got two questions for you this morning. The first is this: are your roots in Christ? And I need to ask that question because I don't know all of you. I know many of you, but certainly not all of you. And I need to ask you the question because it is the crunch question. It's the crucial question. And given that life is so totally unpredictable, we need to know what the answer is. You need to know what the answer is. Can I just be clear? To be rooted in Christ is simply to say to Christ, I need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your life. I need you to be with me. Lord, I admit I'm not perfect. I admit I've done wrong things. I give my life to you. That's what it is. We actually don't need to make it any more complicated than that. It's just reaching out to God and saying, God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I give my life to you. Are you rooted in Christ? If for any reason you've slipped by and it hasn't happened for you, let it happen today. Let this be the moment when you say, Lord, I've learnt. Maybe through the challenges of the last 3 years, I mustn't mess around any longer. Today, I need to make that decision. I need to say, Lord Jesus, I want to be rooted in you. Do it yourself. Pray to God. He'll love to hear from you. If you find it helpful to talk to Toby or to me or one of the other leaders afterwards, nothing would give us greater pleasure. Hear it. Nothing would give us greater pleasure than to talk with you and to pray with you. But I've got to ask that question because it is the crucial question. We can't go anywhere unless we're clear about that one. Is your life rooted in Christ? If not, let's do it. The second is, if your life is rooted in Christ, and I'm sure that is true for many of you here this morning, then how are you being built up in him and strengthened in him? How are you going on from that rootedness? Just because that vine that I spoke of in Herefordshire has good roots isn't enough. We want to see the fruit. We want to see it go somewhere. One of the very interesting things that Paul says is that the process of this life that is given to God, this life that is full of God's presence, one of the key characteristics is thankfulness. He says it here, he says it overflowing with thankfulness. Chapter 3 and verse 15, he says it again, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Verse 17 of that same chapter, get this, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Chapter 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That is to say, if your life is rooted in Christ and you're growing in Christ, we'll know about it because of that spirit of thankfulness that flows from you. Thankful for God's goodness, thankful for what he's doing in your life today. How would you describe yourself today? Rooted in Christ? If so, let's see the fruit. Let's see the thankfulness which bubbles over as a result. Can I ask you for a moment to look at your life? If you, for all of us, you know, all of us, we just need to stand back from how we spend our time, how we spend our days, what our diary looks like. Our diaries have been challenged, haven't they, over the last 3 years, 2.5 years of the pandemic. Life has become so different. So different. I mean, for me, I know I'm odd, but thank you. That first year of COVID, I normally drive 30 to 35,000 miles a year. I've done that for the last more than 20 years. That's what I do. It's because the people I minister are in different places. It's quite simple, really. But suddenly, the 30 to 1,000 miles a year went down to 10,000 miles in that first year, even though we had some times when we were unlocked. Suddenly I was given the gift of, well, hundreds of hours when I was not driving. It was extraordinary. It was like a gift, suddenly, this enormous gift of time. And doing so much as we do online these days, it continues to transform my life. Extraordinary, the way in which we've been able to use the Zoom platform. I spoke to a big meeting yesterday morning. In any normal life, it would have been a day's travelling and all the rest. What it was a 1.5-hour meeting when I met with people from all over the country on Zoom. Fantastic. A disability meeting. Fantastic. Our life is different. Our diaries are different. We need to stand back from our diaries and saying, Lord, how much of my time am I using to put my roots down in you? How much time do you actually give to being, if everything depends on this, how much time are you giving to being with the Lord? Look at your times of prayer. Times to speak out our prayers. Grateful to Toby for his prayers spoken out just then. That's great. But also times, and probably the crunch time of our prayers is the quiet time when we're not saying anything, actually giving God a chance to speak to us. That's what he wants to do in prayer. It's fine that we pray and use words, quite legitimate, but for heaven's sake, give him a chance to speak to you. Give him the space to shape your thinking. Time to pray, time with the Word of God. You've heard me speak on this many times. There isn't one way of studying the Bible. There isn't one way of letting the Word nourish you. I'm never going to come up with, and this is the approved EBC way of studying. It isn't like that. But what I do know is you need the Word. You need to spend time with the Word and to receive what God is saying to you day by day. Just something, even if it's just a few verses, but you need something. Don't let a day slip by without receiving some blessing from God. You're not being fair on yourself. Times of fellowship, times of getting to know one another better, of being honest with one another. I love the Methodist Church, which, as you probably know, was founded upon the basis of the class meeting. The idea on a weekly basis of meeting with a small group of people within which you would ask the question, how is it with your soul? It's not a question I encourage you to ask. It sounds a bit odd these days, doesn't it? But just a moment to be open with one another and say, how are you doing with God at the moment? Where are you struggling? Where are you knowing his blessing at the moment? Just having those intimate moments, which frankly we can't do when we're together on Sunday morning, lovely as these and important as these occasions are. But those moments when we can be honest about our struggles, honest about our fears, honest about our hopes, honest about the things which devastate us, honest about just being me, doing life. We need times. It's not going to happen in a rush. It isn't just about click, becoming a Christian, done. It's about allowing the conversations to take us deep into what it means to share life with one another and with God. We often say it, but I'm going to say it again. Treasure your small group. And if you're not in a small group, I urge you to do so, because it's just going to bless you so much. It will bless you, and it will bless the people with whom you share in that group. One of the foundation blocks, I think, of the life of this church are small groups, and I encourage you to be part of one. And let's make sure that we really value and use these times of worship that we have together. All of these things are important. Let's be regular in being together. All of these things enable us to put down our roots in Christ and to be nourished, to get the moisture, to get the nourishment that those roots will need. Now, the importance of being strong in Christ is made very clear by Paul. His concern in the church in Colossae was that they were being dragged back into observing the old Jewish laws again. And he says, in Christ you've been set free. In Christ you don't need those old regulations. The men were being encouraged to get circumcised. And he's saying, it's not necessary. You're circumcised in Christ. You've been set free by Christ. You've got a new life in Christ. Now, you know, we look at all that stuff, which we heard read by Sally earlier, and we're thinking, yeah, we don't have challenges like that in Eastleigh. And I'm sure that's true. We don't. But we do run the risk, if we're not rooted in Christ, of being deceived by 1,000 other philosophies and opinions here in our society. So we need to insist that we put down roots so that we're strong in Christ, whatever happens. We're strong in Him and can withstand whatever temptations, whatever distractions there may be. Our society is full of distractions, distracted by things, distracted by materialism, distracted by our jobs, distracted by all sorts of things which can take us away from being focused on Christ. I began by talking about the things which suddenly change, and we will all have thought of the shocks that can happen in life. We're all part of that. We're all part of that. That's life. Life is full of surprises. If you don't know Christ, I would recommend that you feel very fearful as you look to the future. You've got everything to fear, it seems to me. But if you know Christ, if you're rooted in Christ, you have nothing to fear. You can be confident in Him. So here are those two questions. Are you rooted in Christ? I'm going to pray a prayer in just a few moments. And if you want to pray that prayer and say, Lord, today I've messed around, but today I want to make the day when I place my roots firmly in You. I give my life to You. That would be your opportunity to say that to God then. And if you are rooted in Christ, and you say, yeah, I am. I'm a Christian, I'm committed to Christ, I want to grow in Christ, then I urge you to look at how you're nourishing those roots and how you're going to grow even more in Him. Let me pray with you now. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying for me. Thank You that You loved me so completely that You were willing to go to those extraordinary lengths to give me life. Lord, I confess that I've let You down. I've sinned against You in my thoughts, my words, my actions. Lord, I claim Your forgiveness and ask You to wash me clean and to give me a new life. Lord Jesus, thank You that You've heard my prayer. Thank You that You will enable me to put down my roots in Christ day by day. And Father, those of us who love You and have served You maybe for many years, we want to say this to You. Lord, we want to grow in You. We want to become stronger in You. We want to become more able to stand for You, to live for You, to grow in You. Lord, thank You for Your patience with us. Thank You that even though often we've dragged our feet and we've been slow to grow, thank You that You've not given up on us. Lord, we pray now that in the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will enable us to be all that You want us to be, that we may grow in You. And Lord, if we've got to make a definite decision about the way in which we pray or read the Bible or have fellowship with others or about our regularity in worship, Lord, we pray that we may make that decision and be firm about it, commit ourselves to You. Lord, thank You that You meet us where we are and that You welcome us today to walk in Your ways. Lord, we're so grateful for this time to be together, and we pray blessing upon one another as we bring our prayers in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. all sorts of us, for all sorts of reasons, we may have specific things we need to do as a result of what I think the Lord has said to us this morning. Do talk with somebody else if you'd find that helpful. We'd love to share with you and to help you on your journey.